First Samuel. And as I was reading through this, Israel now, in this passage of Scripture, they want a king. And, you know, I'd obviously they were rejecting God in doing so. But Saul would be that king. And Saul was not looking for that title when it found him. But he was God's choice. So Samuel goes here in 1 Samuel chapter number 10. And we're not going to read it all. But in verse number 1, he anoints Saul and kisses him and tells him he is going to be that person. And then he tells him that there's going to be two men that are going to, he'll pass those two men and tell him that he was out looking for his father's donkeys that had got loose, and said that they will find those two men. And sure enough, all these things happen. Then he said, you're going to find three men that are going to salute you, and they're going to have food and such, and they're going to feed you and take care of you. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And then he said this, he said, you're going to come across a company of prophets, and they're going to start prophesying, and when they prophesy, the Holy Spirit of God's going to get a hold of you, and you're going to prophesy too. And so sure enough, all these things happen. And let's read verse number 7 in 1 Samuel chapter number 10. Again, that's all these things, exactly what he said. But here's the verse that I want to see here tonight. 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse number 7 says, and let it be, when these signs are come unto thee, that thou do as occasion serve thee. For God is with thee. It says there again that thou do. He said, now all these things are going to happen. And when they happen, he said, then you, it says, that thou do as occasion serve thee, for God is with thee. I want to look at this real quick tonight. Obviously, shortened, nothing fancy. Tonight's a night of Thanksgiving. But this will kind of be, I guess, a message, a challenge, but also my Thanksgiving tonight. And I just want you to see and understand a few things in this passage that I found very interesting in verse number 7. Number one is simply this, providence. Providence. In other words, God is in control. It says there in verse number 7 that thou do as occasion serve thee. That thou do as occasion serve thee. That simple statement means this, God's going to lead you. And you're not going to know exactly what's going to happen and everything. But just do right. And trust that God is in control. That thou do as occasion serve thee. In other words, God's providence has never failed. God is still in control. And I say that tonight because as we look back upon the last year, and I know we all have things that we can stop and be thankful for tonight. But there are also things as we look back too that we probably would not have chosen. Things that weren't on our calendar. We can all look back tonight and know that there have been great blessings from God because all of us are greatly blessed. But we also look back tonight and know this, that we've gone through some things this year as individuals, as families, as a church. And a lot of times we have to stop and think about that. And sometimes we don't have all the answers. But God's providence promises that God is still in control. And while I may not understand why God allows everything that He allows, I know that I can accept it because He's God. And He's never made a mistake. And I know people have gone through lots of different things in this auditorium. And testimonies are yours. For me, I've had so many blessings this year. It's crazy how great God is. I thank the Lord to be able to be a husband and a father. thank the Lord for the blessing that is my wife and this year, that whole better or for worse thing that she promised. I've cashed in on a lot of that this year. I told Rachel she was driving me here, and that's how low things have come in my life, that my baby sister is driving me to church at night. I drive everywhere, and I told her that, right, Rachel? I told you, and she laughed, and she said, I can do whatever I want to because you can't see what I'm doing. And so we had fun on the way here. But my wife's had to take care of, and I told Rachel on the way here, I've not been sick. I felt great all year. But I've had these weird things with a mouth issue that was the worst pain I've ever been in, and now this issue, and I'm just want to thank the Lord for a wife that willingly does whatever she needs to do to help and to take care of me. And I don't take it for granted, and I thank the Lord for her. I thank the Lord for God's working in my children's life. It is my greatest joy to be their father. And I'm thankful for how God's worked in Alex's life this past year. I pray a lot for Alex. And I'm thankful that he felt led of the Lord to go help Brother Slee. And he did a great job down there. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for maturity seeing in his life, and the job that he has, and the heart, and I'm thankful for that, and he's stepping up, and I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for Grace, and what a great blessing from God. Just testifying here that God brought Coy into our family, and I know I'm sharing, get to share him now, Brother Rob and Miss Becky, but I'm thankful for him. I'm thankful that I could give my daughter away and know that she is taken care of and protected and honored. And I thank the Lord for that. Just recently, I'm thankful that God has allowed Alex and Elena to get engaged, and I'm excited for what God's going to do there, and I want to testify that I'm thankful for Elena, because she never had to do right, but she's chosen to, and I'm very thankful for that. I'm thankful for Hope, and she's never allowed to leave, and she hasn't agreed to that yet, but unless she keeps letting me run into poles, then we might. But she walked me around yesterday. I told her she's my C&I daughter. I'm thankful for her, her sweetness, her servant's heart. Thankful for our church. Just so blessed to be able to pastor. And I cannot in any way tell you how much I love this church. Came here in 1994. That's a long time now. And really, I guess it's the temporary status, interning, but it's just been a privilege for a whole lot of years. And I'm thankful that I still get to be here. So to you, I want to say thank you, because you could tell me to leave tomorrow, but I'm thankful, and please give me a month and a half, all right? I'll be okay, but I love this church more than you ever know. You're my life. I think about you unceasingly, and I understand what Paul meant when he said, you pray without ceasing. Hurt with you, I rejoice with you. I'm so thankful, because we have a great church, and I'm not saying that to pat you on the back. If I didn't think it was true, I'd preach hard at you and tell you you're not. But you are. You're a great church. You're a giving church. You're a faithful church. You're a mature church. I've never had anyone come here to speak that did not say that the church is so receptive to preaching and to the truth. And I'm just very thankful for our church. I'm thankful for the goodness of God. And I could go on and on and on, but the providence of God is what brings those blessings in our life. God directs those blessings in our life. Every good and perfect gift cometh from where? Above, from the Father. But I can't talk about the providence of God and the blessings without also saying that sometimes there's burdens. And that's still under the control of the providence of God. Personally, again, I've already mentioned, and I don't want to focus on this, but I've had some weird issues this past year. I've had some hard times as a church. And again, not as like struggling and just... The church is the people, and there's a lot of our church folks have had some hard, difficult days. Had a lot of sicknesses, a lot of issues. Missions this year has taken on a whole nother level of time in my life. I'm thankful we're sending out more laborers. It's exciting. It's a whole lot of responsibility and a whole lot more issues. But while we look at these things and we see the burdens, and I know that you have gone through a lot too. And I just want to say to everybody tonight, I get it too. It's a lot of things in the last, especially 2 years, that I wouldn't have chosen. A lot of things gone through this year that if I was in charge, wouldn't have happened in my life or yours. But though our life can turn upside down, God never makes mistakes. And though we may hurt, and though we may have questions, and though we cannot see, He makes no mistakes. And I want to encourage the church tonight, if anything, be thankful this year to say, I can trust in the providence of God. I can lean on the fact that my God is still in control. So I'm thankful tonight for the providence of God, and I'm also thankful tonight for the presence of God. That same text verse says, when these signs are coming to thee that thou do as occasion serve thee, then it says, for God is with thee. Isn't it an awesome thing that through the blessings and through the burdens, God is right there with us. Through everything that we'll ever go through, God is there. I told the Hope class just a moment ago in my lesson that I brought there that, and ironically, you can't make this up. You know, someday you're going to understand that God does have a sense of humor because He's made us with emotions. The lesson for tonight that I was to teach was 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7, which says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And, you know, I told the class there that if God needs me to go through these things, to help me to be a better husband or a better father or a better pastor, then that's okay. That'd be fine. Because there's one thing I've learned is when I was up my third night with the worst pain I've ever had in my life and my jaw and whatever was going on, which I still don't know, that I talked to God more in those few hours than I had in a long time. that God will use these times to get us to stop and to get us to reevaluate, to look at things. When we go through different things, my prayer, I've been praying since Thursday night, laying in an emergency room. I asked God for a scripture and a verse, and God just led my mind and my thoughts that night to when Saul was converted. And I just kept going through that, God, let the scales fall from my eyes. And that's my prayer. So if you want to know how to pray, there's a simple verse, all right? But for now, I'm good. Because God's right there. And I'm thankful that no matter what we go through, God said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And there's nothing that I'll ever pass through that I cannot know that he has a hold of my hand. And no matter what hurt you go through, no matter what path you have to walk down, to the child of God tonight, I tell you, he's there. And he'll never leave you. And so I'm thankful for the providence of God, and I'm thankful for the presence of God. And I close with one last thought, that the providence and the presence of God allows me to know that there is a plan from God. If you look at the next verse, in verse number 8, it says this. It says, and thou shalt go down before me to Gilgal, and behold, I will come down unto thee to offer burnt offerings and to sacrifices of peace offerings. 7 days shalt thou tarry till I come to thee. And look what it says, and show thee what thou shalt do. Just a couple of thoughts from this, and I'm done. There's a plan. Because I can trust in the providence of God and the presence of God, I can rely on the plan of God. And for Saul here in this passage, the plan was very simple. Number one, trust him. He says there in verse number 8, he says, go down before me to Gilgal, and I'll come to thee. That had to be a long walk. You talk about your life turned upside down. Saul went looking for donkeys, came back the king. His whole life got turned upside down. And now this prophet says, go down to that city, and I'll catch up with you. There's a whole lot of questions, I'm sure, but he did it. And because we can trust in the providence and the presence of God, then I promise the plan of God, whatever it is, just as Samuel told him, simple word, just go. Keep on going. Don't quit, because God is there and he has a plan. But I see trust and I see time. In this passage, it says this, and to sacrifice sacrifices of peace offerings, 7 days shalt thou tarry. I can just tell from the life of Saul that he wasn't the most patient guy. Have you read the rest of the story? Saul had a temper. Saul, he struggled. And I'm sure those were probably the 7 longest days of his life. You say, well, what are you trying to say here? Is this simply this? You can trust God and be patient. God doesn't work on our timeline. His is perfect. And be patient and wait on the Lord, because there is a treasure. There's a reward for it all. And the reward's in the next verse, in verse number 9. If you want to glance at it real quick, the reward is awesome. It says there in verse number 9, and it was so that when he had turned his back to go from Samuel, God gave him another heart. God gave him another heart. And I guess one of the great blessings I can share with you tonight is this. I am so thankful for all the blessings of God. And I'm also thankful for the burdens that his providence has allowed. I didn't say I enjoy them, but in every one of them, God has helped me. And as long as you allow him, God will continue to help you. Because his providence has never changed. He's still God. He's still in charge. And the fact is this, he has a plan. He'll see you through. And if you allow him to mold you through the blessings and the burdens, he will leave you a person with another heart. A new heart. So what kind of heart? One that's closer to him. One that's more sensitive to him. You know, I always said, one of the people that I always wanted to be like was my grandpa. And I can't tell you, my whole life I'd known him. I'd always keep his right eye shut because he had a stroke in his eye. I was like, that's not what I meant, God. You know, I was talking to God this week. It's not what I meant. But my grandpa would tell you, you get to heaven, ask him, that the one thing that changed his life was when his son, my Uncle Terrell, got polio. And I know I've told you this story before, and I'll not belabor it, but as he laid in his office weeping and begging God to heal his son, God changed his heart. It made him, in my opinion, out of everyone I've ever met in my life, the greatest soul winner I've ever met in my life. And it happened from a burden. The blessings of God are great, amen? But God will use the burdens. If you pick up your songbook, don't. But if you pick it up and start flipping through the pages, a great majority of those hymns that we sing come from a story of a lot of burdens, a lot of heartaches. Our Bible songbook, the Book of Psalms, read through them. These great passages of Scripture start out from a broken heart. And I know it's weird tonight, but it's what God led me. That I believe and I'm thankful for the blessings and the burdens in my life this past year. Because while I'm good being done with them, but I've also learned that God has a plan and his presence is so real. And if you'll let him, you'll come out every one of them with another heart. A heart that's a little bit more sensitive. A heart that's a little bit more tender. A heart that's a little bit more compassionate. A heart that's a little bit more right with him. Those aren't easy words to say. But I believe in his providence. And I believe in his presence. And I believe he has a plan. And I want God to do it.